one of Charles and Mary Helen's favorite scriptures, was from the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'd like to read just these few verses for you. Verses 1 to 5, then 10, 11, then 28, 31. Where Isaiah was inspired by God to say, "Comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.' Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him or her who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." May God bless this word to our hearts. This is the word of the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Most of us don't like waiting. We live in an instant. What on earth did we do before microwaves? We don't even like waiting at a red light. There probably have hundreds of thousands of them run every day because we're in such a hurry. The angriest I believe I've ever seen my daughter-in-law be was when she had to wait all night at an airport because the airline had fouled up the connections and she missed her flight and had to wait. But life is like that, isn't it? Almost every day. We have to wait for things. Remember how hard it was to wait for Christmas when you were a child, or your birthday, or for school to be out, or until the next time you'd get to see your sweetheart. But God says, wait. Don't rush so headlong into life. Isn't there a saying, slow down or stop and smell the roses? I don't think that's in here, but God wants us to take the time for our spirits to be renewed, for our batteries to be recharged. We need time with God. Oh, we're always with God, and God is always with us. But we usually have Him tuned out. We're so busy. Have you tried praying as you walk or drive somewhere? Charles and I go out and walk, a mile or more, almost every morning. I think I do more praying there than at any other time. They that wait upon the Lord, that turn to Him, that focus our awareness on Him, that commune with Him. Don't ignore Him. What kind of love relationship is that with the one who has given us life and loves us so much? God blesses us in our moments with Him. He renews us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. We mount up with wings like eagles. We walk the daily paths with new strength because we have come to our God and we have waited and we have been filled. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Let us pray. God of love, we thank You for all that which You have blessed us, even to this very day, for the gifts of joy and days of health and strength, and for the gifts of Your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise You for home and friends, and for our baptism and place in Your church, with all who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank You for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death and rose for our sake, who lives and prays for us. And as He taught us, so now we pray, and will you join me in this great prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now I'd like for you to take the little Vesper Chime songbook again, and let's sing again hymn number 98, In Loving Kindness Jesus Came and Lifted Me.
Tender hand, He lifted me.
Now, Lord, let your servants go in peace, for your word has been fulfilled, and our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people. So now let this family be blessed, and all our hearts be comforted, for we know with a blessed assurance that you are with us. And we would sing glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, for as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever will be, for you are with us. And we love you, Father, and bless your holy name. And so go in peace, and the God of peace goes with you. And the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are yours. Amen.
Thank you. Mary Helen was one of the most intelligent people I ever knew. Mary Helen was a talented and an accomplished musician. She held a Bachelor of Arts in piano. There was always music in our home. Whether a musical event is needed, Mary Helen was probably involved. At various times, she was pianist and organist at four large Enid churches. She was organist at Central Christian Church for 13 years. Mary Helen was a teacher. She held a Master of Arts in Library Science, and in the many years she was employed with the Enid school system, she taught not only in the elementary grades, but in the junior high and the high school. She taught in the elementary grades only 2 years, but she said these were her most rewarding years. She taught the fourth and the sixth grade at Carver School. This was before the schools were desegregated, and Carver was a segregated school, separate but equal. She was allowed free rein to teach as she saw fit. Of course, the first thing she did was to set up a library, which had been completely non-existent up to this time. Her class load never exceeded 15 students. Most of these youngsters were appreciative and cooperative. What conflicts there were came from a few parents. They didn't want a white teacher teaching their children. Mary Helen taught the children their basics plus some extras. Always, music was prominent. The children loved to sing. In the sixth grade, the children were taught to speak French. I don't mean that they became fluent in French, but they certainly knew more French than I know, and probably more than most members of this audience. In math, she taught base 8, in addition to conventional math. At the same time she tried to teach base 8, at the same time she tried to teach me base 8, but I was one of her lesser successes. I had all I could do to figure in base 10. At the end of her sixth grade, which was probably in about 1968, Carver was closed because of desegregation, and the children were then bused to the various other schools in Enid. Mary Helen was transferred to head the library at Enid High. Mary Helen always said that she learned so much teaching at Carver. An ambition of hers was to start teaching in the first grade there and move with the children as they went to the sixth grade at Carver. It would be very interesting to see the results. I don't know when I first knew Mary Helen. We moved to Enid in 1919, and Dad bought a house at 1231 East Broadway. Mary Helen's father had built a house at 1332 East Broadway, one block east of us. Mary Helen was born in that house. Whether or not she was living in this house when we moved to 1231, I don't know. In 1923, the Enid schools went to the 633 plan, and they opened their junior highs. I was in the seventh grade, and Mary Helen was in the ninth. A school orchestra was formed. Mary Helen played the piano, and I fumbled with a clarinet, and I used the word fumbled advisedly. At the end of the year, Mary Helen went even high, and I had 2 more years at Longfellow High. When I went to Enid High, I played in the same orchestra as my own, but I have no recollection of her. I grew up on a farm. In the summer before my junior year, I was flying clear over on the east side of our farm. I started thinking about Mary Helen. The neighbor's house was close, and I went there and phoned Mary Helen and asked her to go to the movie with me. She asked her mother. Her mother looked me up in the phone book. I passed this acid test, and she said yes. We started going together when I was 16. Mary Helen was 17. We were married in 1932, right in the midst of the Great Depression. I was 21 years old at that time. We had no money, no jobs, or prospect for a job. Dad didn't think we had any sense. We stood in front of a justice of the peace and said our I and B's. Afterwards, I stood there stupidly until a justice said, "Mr. Decker, you may kiss the bride," which I did enthusiastically. We would have been married 69 years, the 15th of next month. In retrospect, thinking about our marriage, I believe marrying Mary Helen was one of the smartest things I ever did. Not only was Mary Helen my wife and the mother of our children, she also was my lifelong companion and my best friend. I will miss her.
Dear Mother, I want to thank you. Thank you for loving me so much when I was a baby and holding me very, very close. Thank you for lying out on the lawn with me when I was a very little girl and looking at the stars and singing to me. It's one of my very favorite memories. Thank you for endlessly reading to me The Moffat, Dr. Doolittle, The Funny Parts of Gone with the Wind. You gave me a love for reading that's one of the mainstays of my life. Thank you for being such a fine musician, for bringing music into my life, and always seeing to it that I had music lessons. You gave me a way to earn my living that is fun, rewarding, and nourishing to my spirit. Thank you. For never, never turning away from me throughout my adolescence and young adulthood, no matter what I did. Thank you for being there when I had two small children to raise on my own. You eased my task in so many ways and provided so many opportunities for my children that they would never have had otherwise. Thank you for listening to me when my older daughter was going through her adolescence. You told me repeatedly, "Don't give up on her." You were right. She made it through. Thank you most of all for always being there for me and doing the very best you could to be as good a mother to me as you were capable of being. You will always be with me, helping me to think things through, to try to do my best, and to see the humor in things. And I would like to read a statement from my daughter, Artemis Davies Eggleston, to her grandmother, or about her grandmother. My grandmother was never just a grandmother. She was a grandmother, the proudest woman I have ever known. When she used to visit, she always dressed up in beautiful outfits, even when all she was going to do was to sit on the living room couch in our messing house. Until she got sick, I never once saw her in any condition other than immaculate. From head to toe, she always looked perfect. She was so dignified. Until just recently, I felt really bad about her illness, the suffering, her lack of control over her life. But then I saw it from a new perspective. All of her life, she worked very hard to keep up her image as a respected Southern woman. Maybe she decided it was her time to just let it all hang out. Maybe she just got tired and decided it was time for her to relax and be taken care of. She sure did deserve it. I admire my grandmother so much. She lived such a long life. She was always taking care of others. Even though she wanted to be a piano star, she took her job as a wife and mother so seriously, she always put others first. I have so much admiration for her and my granddad. They were so strong together. Couples today don't have the strength that my grandparents must have had to stay together for so long. I hold so much respect for them. The challenges they went through were much more than I will ever know, but somehow they made it through together to the very end. And that's what marriage is supposed to be, sticking together like this amazing couple, Charles and Mary Helen. When my grandmother visited my house in California, her presence would fill the entire house. The first thing she would do was sit down at our upright piano and fill the house with music. Now, I grew up hearing my mom play the piano, but grandmother put so much more power into her music. Her songs would crash through the house, filling the air with her presence. You could never forget if she was in the house. She wouldn't let you. Thanks, grandmother. for all the beauty you brought into this world. Thank you for loving your family and caring for them so deeply. You will never be forgotten by any of us. We promise.
Sing the words they love and caring. Sing the words they thought and sharing. Sing the words of caring sharing. Sing the words, I'll sing the words in your heart. Sing the words, dearest love. Sing the words. Sing the words of caring sharing.
Sure.